And we want to thank you for coming. I'm sure you would rather listen to more of that and less of me. I certainly was blessed listening to that. These men could have come here tonight, sung and preached, and I could have stayed at home, for they have a few preachers among them as well. But I'm here in the will of God, and I just want to sincerely thank you all for joining with us. It's lovely to see you night by night, and I'm beginning to see familiar faces across the congregation. That's always a good thing. That means you're regular, you're coming, and we're glad to see you. I want to welcome you in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. And we're always thankful for those who will come and support the gospel. And your presence is appreciated. It's valued, believe me. And I just want to add to words of welcome you have received, and just emphasize how important it is that you attend the meetings. And we're so thankful for your faithfulness. And it's been a hard slog. I know you've been doing outreach and prayer times and many other duties to perform at home and at work. And yet you've made the sacrifice. And the Lord must take note of that. If a mere mortal like myself doesn't go beyond my thinking and recognition, then surely the Lord must take note of that. Surely the God of heaven must give attention to what his people are doing. And nothing is missed by the Lord. And he does see your labour of love. And he's no man's debtor. And I do believe you will be the better spiritually. And so will your home and your heart in attending the meetings, praying and supporting. Now we encourage you to continue to pray and ask God to work and move. I believe in my heart that there are individuals who have been spoken to in the meetings. We know the Lord has been working and has already worked, but we would never want to sit back on our laurels. We would never want just to say, well, there's been a work done, that'll do. No, as long as there's one soul, one individual still out of Christ, then we must, with all our energy and might, as though it depended on us, get the gospel to that person. Pray for that person. And if you're here tonight and I don't know you all, and you don't know Christ as your own and personal Saviour, if there has never been a definitive moment in your experience when you repented of all your sin and received into your heart and into your life the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is our prayer and the prayer of every believer that this night will be the night you come to Christ, that you're saved by the grace of God. So we're glad to see you. We've been praying for you as you have prayed for me. We're in the book of Exodus this evening, the chapter 8. You'll not have to go too far in your Bible to find this book, Genesis, and then into the book of Exodus. We're in the chapter 8. We want to break in at the chapter at verse 20. We'll read a few verses from verse 20. Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. That is, it's not right. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know the Lord will bless this brief but public reading from his own precious and infallible word. Let's just seek the Lord's face in prayer and ask help of God in the hearing and the preaching of his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee already for a sense of the divine presence, and we want to acknowledge thee in all our ways. We would never want, O God, to have a turn in the meeting without seeking the Lord. We would never want our Father to take one step without asking help from God. And here we are as we present ourselves before thee. We stand before thee by blood alone. We come to thee through the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thee, our Father, that we have access by faith through him. And as we stand before thee, clothed in his righteousness, saved by his grace and born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, we entreat thee now, our Father, in the Savior's great name, to intensify the sense of the divine presence. Lift the meeting now out of the natural realm and bring it into the supernatural. Defeat the devil, we beseech thee. Come and lift it out of the usual, bring it into the unusual. Come by thy Holy Spirit, we invite thee now, and lift this meeting out of the ordinary, bring it into the extraordinary with thyself. And to this end, Almighty God, let the Spirit of the Lord descend upon this gathering. We pray for the breath of God in the preaching of the old evangel. We pray for conviction for sin, the gifts of repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, to be bestowed upon lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. O God, our Father, in Jesus' precious name, we pray that thou wouldst give an ear and a heart for the gospel. Let there be one or more outside of Christ whose heart, like Lydia, the Lord had opened. We pray for the scales to fall off their eyes, that they may see themselves as sinners in the sight of a holy God, that they may abandon all other hopes but the hope of the cross, in order that they might be saved. So to this end, Father, come and work in this meeting. Defeat the devil and the hardness of man's heart. And loving Father, we pray that Christ will be uplifted, honored, and glorified in the salvation of the lost, the restoration of the backslidden, and the reviving of the church. Lord, pour out thy Spirit now and glorify thy dear Son. And so, Father, to this end, the glorifying of the Master, infill me now with the Holy Spirit of promise. Give to me wisdom and power in the handling of thy word. Leave me not to myself. I cry out to thee for help. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, for I ask these things believing in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. The subtle and deceitful dealings of Pharaoh with Moses were most evident during the plagues of Egypt. For whenever Moses first confronted this wicked man, Pharaoh, with "Thus saith the Lord," let my people go. Pharaoh initially refused to obey the command of Almighty God, saying, who is the Lord that I should obey him? However, when the Lord began to plague the nation of Egypt, Pharaoh at times began to soften his heart. He began to think things through seriously, and quite often during those judgments from God, he called Moses for private conversation. He talked to him about what the Lord was doing in the land and how best to appease this God and to turn the judgment of the Lord from the people and from Pharaoh himself. Remember, he did not want to let the people go. The Lord had categorically said and stated through Moses, let my people go that they may serve me. And despite the judgments, Pharaoh remained hard of heart. He would not obey the Lord. He would not submit to the commands of the Almighty. And the best thing he could come up with was compromise in the face of judgment. And rather than obey God and let the people go to serve the Lord, Pharaoh came up with four compromises in order to do away with the explicit command of God to let Israel go that they may serve me. Now the first two compromises came in the reading that we have during the swarm of flies. The third compromise came as an attempt to ward off a plague of locusts that were devouring the land. And the fourth and final compromise was proposed whenever God sent a thick darkness over the land of Egypt and Israel in Goshen had light in their dwellings. He offered a fourth compromise. Now these compromises offered by Pharaoh are not unlike the compromises the devil uses to deceive sinners into obeying God, out of obeying God, to repent of their sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The devil will deceive. The devil, if he cannot stop you hearing the gospel, he will water it down. He will present another way of salvation. He will allow you to go so far, but not all the way. And that's exactly what we have here in Pharaoh. We have a type of the devil. As he confronts even the children of Israel and Moses, as he represents the children of Israel, with four compromises concerning the command of God to leave Egypt, to go into the wilderness, and to sacrifice and worship the Lord. I want to look at those compromises in the gospel, and I want to lift them out of their context and apply them to your heart, because I believe in my soul that these are the very compromises the devil has already offered to you concerning God's way of salvation. The first compromise was offered in regard to the place. If you look with me at chapter 8 and the verse 25, we read there emphatically that God has something to say. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And look what Moses says. It is not meet so to do. We will sacrifice, that's in the land, the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we do that, sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? Now look at his answer. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And so there was a compromise in regard to the place. Pharaoh says in verse 25, go, obey God then. Go and sacrifice then. Do what he tells you. But sacrifice in the land. Now that is a compromise, for God had clearly stated, chapter 3, chapter 5, clearly stated that the sacrifice and the people were to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. They were to leave the land of Egypt. They were not to stay in that place, for God had another place where he would meet with them, where they would sacrifice, and where he would accept them. But Pharaoh says, okay, go. Go and sacrifice. Go and serve. But stay in the land. Don't be going 3 days' journey. Don't you be getting out of my sight. I want you where I can see you. And I want you to sacrifice in the land of Egypt. Now that was a compromise, but Moses knew the word of God. And Moses knew that God had chosen a specific place. There was a location, 3 days' journey out of Egypt, where God says, you'll sacrifice there. God said, 3 days' journey. And when you reach that place, I'll tell you. And at that place, and only that place, you will make the sacrifice, and I will meet with you. And of course, Pharaoh, knowing that he was losing his grip on those people, knowing that they would get out of his sight, he offered the compromise in regard to the place in the land. And Moses says, but sure, we'll sacrifice animals, sheep, which are an abomination to the Egyptians, if we sacrifice in the land. And they will stone us because we're sacrificing, worshipping through the sacrifice of the lamb. And so Moses knew the word of God. Pharaoh offered the compromise. And could I say in the gospel that there is a place where God meets with guilty sinners. There is one place where God saves the lost. There is one place that God has appointed that all sinners must go to if they're ever to be saved, and it is called Calvary. And the devil would say, come to church. The devil would say, worship God, get right with God through your baptism. The devil would compromise you and say, well, sure, just get confirmed as a young person and just read your Bible, just say your prayers, do the best that you can, and as far as the rest go, you don't need to get to the cross. You don't need to come as a guilty sinner to the Lord. Now tell me, is that what you say in your heart? Because if you say in your heart, preacher, I don't see my need to be saved. I don't see that I need to take this journey to the cross. I can't see that God can only accept me when I come as a sinner to Christ. Surely he will accept me, for I'm a good person. And listen, I can just go to church, be baptized, be confirmed, do the best I can, and God will receive me. Not at all. This whole episode is alive with gospel truth. God is saying to Moses, you must leave the land of Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. Pharaoh, a type of the devil. And there are the people of God. And God commands them, you'll leave Egypt and you'll get to the place I have chosen. And it'll be 3 days' journey in the wilderness. And Pharaoh says, no, you'll sacrifice in the land. God could never have accepted that. He could never have compromised his word. And there's no other place the Lord can save you but at Calvary. There is no other place God knows whereby he can be just, that is, he punishes sin, and the justifier, that is, he pardons the guilty, but at the cross. And if you miss the cross, you're lost. There is no heaven through the church. There is no way to God through baptism and the sacraments. You can take communion. You can have all the rites and rituals of any church for that matter. You can attend a Bible-believing church. You can attend a hyper-reformed church. You can attend a liberal church. And the devil will not mind you going to any of those things so long as you don't come to the cross, so long as you don't take the 3 days journey into the wilderness and get to the place where God says he'll meet with you. And God can only meet with a sinner at the cross. And if you miss the cross, you're lost. You're finished. It's over. If you miss the cross. And there's only one place where God can punish sin. Only one place where he can pardon a sinner. Only one place where he can save your soul. And it's at the cross. And the devil will offer the compromise in regard to the place, won't he? He would have you do all you can, but get to the cross. The way of the cross leads home. I was over in Glasgow visiting with the Reverend Wesley Irwin. And when I was there, I said to him, would you take me to Glasgow Cross? It's not too far from Parkhead Celtic's football ground. And he says, well, obviously you don't want to see the football ground, but I know why you want to go there. I says, I'm sure you've used the illustration yourself. And he says, I have. 2 children lost in the city of Glasgow, couldn't find their way home. A policeman said, is there anywhere in the city that you know that if you were there, I could direct you to your home? And the children didn't know too many places. And the policeman actually said, would you know Glasgow Cross? And they said, we would. He says, if I got you there, would you know how to get home? And they says, we would. So he took them there and they were able to find their way home when they got there. And the illustration has been used in many gospel meetings. That if you get the sinner to the cross, they'll find their way home from there. For the way of the cross leaves home. There's no other way but the cross. And you'll ne'er get sight of those gates of light if the way of the cross you miss. And tonight, the devil offers you a compromise. He can go every other place, from the baptismal font to the communion altar. But don't go to heaven by the cross. And I've told you, if you miss the cross, you're lost. God cannot save you apart from the finished work of Calvary. He cannot save you apart from the shed blood of Christ. He cannot receive you. He cannot give you eternal life. He cannot pardon any of your sin unless you as a sinner repent and come by faith to Christ. Walk the pathway of confession. And turn from your sin and receive the sacrifice of the cross. Could I say secondly, there was not only the compromise in regard to the place, but there was a compromise in regard to the path. If you look with me at chapter 8, look at verse 28. Here's the second compromise. Look at verse 28. And Pharaoh says, I will let you go then. If you can't sacrifice in the land, if your God has a place where you have to meet with him, then I'll go halfway with you. Look what he says here. Verse 28. I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, in that place you're talking about. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me. Do you see how he worded it? Ye shall not go very far away. What did God say? Ye shall go 3 days' journey. God says you'll leave Egypt and there has to be a complete separating from Egypt. And it's not a matter of staying close to Egypt. It's not a matter of staying as close as you can to the world. You have to leave it. And there's a path you must follow. And there's a road you must take. Do you see how subtle Pharaoh was? He knew what he was doing. He says, okay, you can't sacrifice here. I understand what you're saying. It's out there in the wilderness. Well, go, sir, sacrifice. Only don't go very far away. Don't go very far away. Do you know the application in the gospel is very simple, you know. Because clearly Moses had indicated the path they should take. 3 days' journey. Total obedience. There could be no compromising with the word of God. Even if they went 1 day's journey. Or 1.5. Or even 2. 2.5. It's not good enough. You must go all the way. All the way. And sure, the devil, would he not say to you, as a sinner tonight, that you really should avoid extremes, you know. I mean, being fanatical about repenting of your sin and following Christ, sure, that's extreme religion. You wouldn't want that. You would want to avoid that. You would want an easy life and an easier path to the Lord. I mean, leaving Egypt, that's the world. Leaving your sin. I mean, that man preaching about repentance, telling you to be sorry for your sin, and not only sorry, but to turn your back on your sin, to separate from your sin, to be cut off from your sin, and then walk the pathway of confession and humble your heart at the foot of the cross and receive Christ into your life and let Him rule your life, govern your life. Sure, you don't want that. Why don't you just change your life a little bit? Why don't you just quit smoking or drink less alcohol? Why don't you just stop doing the lottery? Why don't you just attend more church services? Why don't you just seek to get some rite or the ritual of the church conferred upon you? Why not buy a Bible and start reading that? Why not set aside 10 minutes every day and pray? What about giving a little more money to charity? What about tidying up your life and not eating certain things and going through rites and rituals, but repenting? Oh, you don't need to do that. Don't go as far as that. Just fall a little bit short. And sure, God's bound to welcome you and receive you and recognize what you're doing. Not so. Not so. When God commands repentance from sin, there has to be a leaving of your sin. You cannot take your sin with you. You cannot just hold on to the world like this and then pretend to sacrifice to God. Do you see what's happening? It's as though you're unwilling to let go and then to move away. And they get further away until you're 3 days out of Egypt. God knew what He was doing. And 3 in Scripture, the number of completion. The complete act of breaking away from Egypt, getting out into the place called Calvary, and it's a pathway of repentance, and He offers compromise. Oh, listen, just clean up your life, you know. Just tidy your mind up a little bit, and get rid of those little things that are sin in your life, and there's no need to go any further than that. Surely reform is enough to be accepted with God. No, it's not. It has to be repentance. I mean, getting saved, becoming a born again Christian, repenting of all your sin, renouncing your past. There's no need to go as far as that. I mean, receiving Christ. Surely that's extreme religion, with persecution and offense and reproach. And then living a rigorous, hard, difficult life, swimming against the tide, having to stand up for the Lord, confessing Christ to your fellow man, telling others you've got saved. Oh, you need to avoid that, the devil says. It's what Pharaoh said to Moses. Not that far. Just go so far. But Moses knew the command of God. And he says, no. Not in the land, not even 1 day's journey, but all the way. And if you're ever to be saved, you need to go all the way. If you fall short, you'll drop into hell. All the way, sinner. You must abandon every other hope of being saved apart from Christ. You must abandon every thought. And listen, I'll personalize it so I'm not getting at anyone. If you're trusting in the Free Presbyterian Church for salvation, or some close association with this denomination, if you think somehow by having some company with the people in the Free Church will ward off, fend off the judgment of God upon your soul, then you've listened to the lie of the devil. You've gone so far, but not all the way. This church cannot save you. The Free Presbyterian Church cannot save you. It cannot take you to heaven. And you should not trust in any church, nor any rite nor ritual of any church. That's the devil's compromise. go so far. But not all the way. Oh, listen. The devil would even let you come to church. But don't come to Christ. The devil would let you take the sacrament, but don't take the Savior. The devil would say, have all the ritual of the church, but don't take the Redeemer of the church. The devil would say, better your life, clean up your life, that's enough, and nothing more. But God says, repent. Believe the gospel. Turn from your sin. God says it. The devil offers a compromise. Now, which are you going to take? The compromise, it's the path to hell. Or God's command. God does not suggest you repent. He does not say, I want you to think about this or give it some thought at some time in your life. And maybe you could do this. God commandeth. All men everywhere. So the text puts a circle around us all, doesn't it? All men everywhere to repent. You've got to turn. You've got to repent. Repentance involves a recognition that you've offended God. That you've sinned against Him. You've violated His holy law. You've broken His commandments. And in the violation of that law, it carries an eternal penalty. And there is eternal punishment. And the only way to escape the judgment and curse of a broken law is to come as a guilty sinner and look beyond yourself to Christ. It's the only path the Bible calls a sinner to trod. It's the only path that God has for a lost soul to walk. It's the pathway of repentance that brings you to the cross where God saves your soul, forgives your sin, and bestows upon you everlasting life. The devil is a liar. You must go all the way, not only recognizing you are a sinner. That's the first step. But it takes more than that. There's many a person before they went into hell recognized their sin and they were sinners. But there's a difference in recognizing you're a sinner and receiving Christ as your Savior. You've got to go all the way. So there's compromise in regard to the place. You've got to get to Calvary. There's compromise in regard to the path. You must go all the way. Nothing else will suffice. But there's something else here, and it's very subtle. A little change. But nevertheless, very important. Where there's compromise in regard to the posterity, the children. This is a very subtle move, and parents and grandparents and those who love our young people and those who love the little lambs of our flocks, listen to me. This is what the devil is saying about our children. And we ought to hear what the devil intends to do with them. There is compromise here in regard not only to the place and the path, but in regard to the posterity, the little children. A very subtle move. If you turn over to chapter 10 of the book of Exodus, you will see that for yourself. Look with me at verse 8. Now he begins to reason. Whenever the plague of locusts come, whenever the plague of darkness arrives, he begins to reason a way out and offers another compromise. And look what he says in chapter 10 and look at verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. Now in saying go, he's literally saying go. Leave the land of Egypt. And not only go, but take your 3 days journey. And go into the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt. Think of it. He's now saying to them, you can go. But then he adds another compromise. Look what he says there in verse 9, or verse 10. Verse 8. But who are they that shall go? Who are they that shall go and sacrifice? Verse 9. And Moses said, I'll tell you, Pharaoh, who they are. We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he, that Pharaoh, said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go. That is an end. the older people. Look what he says. And your little ones, your children, look ye to it. Take this into your consideration. Your little children, look ye to it. Is it right and proper? For evil is before you, to take your children with you, and your young people with you. Ye that are men, look what it says there in verse 11. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for ye did desire that. Now let me tell you something. What he was actually saying here was this. Go. All you adults, go. All you older ones, go. All you that are strong, all you that are fit, all of you, go. Get out of my sight. But who will really go with you? You just leave your children with me. And I look after your little ones. Evil is before you. You're going to take children into a wilderness. There are poisonous snakes there. There are scorpions there. Maybe the wolves are out looking for prey. They could snatch a little child. The burning sun. And you have no water. No food. Are you going to take children and young people on a rigorous journey into the wilderness? 3 days, 3 nights. Then sacrifice. Stay there for as long as your God wants, and then bring them back again. Are you going to do that? But I'll tell you what to do. Go you. But just you leave your children with me. There are several applications in the gospel, you know. The difficulty of the way is mentioned. Evil is before you. Pharaoh argues the children won't make it. It's too hard for children. You can't expect little children and young people to go into the wilderness. You see, the devil argues, leave your children with me. And go you to church. Go you to your prayer meeting. And go and do your outreach. And go and do all you can in the church. But don't worry about your children, because don't be taking them with you. And if they don't want to go, leave them at home. Why would you take children on the Christian life with you? Sure, it's too hard. It's too difficult. Look at all they've got to face. They're not strong enough. Just leave them as they are. Let them get an education. Let them get married. Let them get settled down. Let them find a good job and a career in life. And maybe later on, it'd be better for your children to think about getting to the cross. It'd be better later on for your young people to learn, when they're mature adults, how to follow the Lord, and be taught, as strong men and women, how to walk with God. Isn't that what the devil does in our families, among our children, among all our young people? You see, there are many who think children must not face the rigors of the Christian life. There are some who would believe that it's wrong to indoctrinate children, for that's the term they use. But I'm telling you this right now. Every single child and young person ought to be reached when they're young. And we cannot leave the gospel to another time. God says, remember now thy creator when you are men. Doesn't say that. When you're impressionable and young. When you have youth on your side. That's the time to get right with God. And I'm telling you this. The opposite is true. From the first time the child can speak, some of the first words the child should ever utter is the gospel. Some of the first verses the child should ever say should not be nursery rhymes, but John 3:16. Oh, but you just leave that till later on. Why would you ever send children to Sunday school? Why would you ever catechize them? Children can't understand that. And why would you get them to learn Bible verses? Children can't take that in. Who told you that? Who told you that? The devil did. I can tell you now, we have children in our own church and in my own family, and they can quote from they were 3 and 4 years of age large portions of the Word of God. They can quote the entire questions of the catechism and give the answers. And some of them, before they're 15, can give the scripture proofs as well. And I'm saying that from a child, they ought to know the Holy Scriptures that are able to make them wise unto salvation. Why did the devil, why did Pharaoh want the children in Egypt? I'll tell you why. He says, okay, I've lost this generation. And I'm not going to do much with these ones, but I'll keep the next generation for myself. And we ought to be reaching out to the children and to the young people of this province. And we should be doing all we can to evangelize the young, because the devil's working among the young. You remember whenever the disciples couldn't cast out the demon and the little boy, our Lord came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Lord said, and they said to the Lord, your disciples couldn't cast the devil out of this child. And the Lord says, bring him to me. And he said to the Father, how long has he been in this condition, that is possessed of the devil? And the Father said these words, from a child. So the devil's working with children when they're very young. But the church, perhaps they're leaving it till a little later. But there's application for young people here. Young person, your mum and dad, your grandfather or grandmother, or even your older brother or sister may have left Egypt. They may have taken the 3 days' journey and repented of their sin and got to the cross. And they're walking in the wilderness of this world. They're facing the rigors of the Christian life. And you're still in Egypt yourself. You're still in the grip of the devil. You're still under the power of Pharaoh. You're still in the world, young person, and you've never left Egypt, even though your mum and dad have. Many years ago, they repented of their sin. Even though some in your family have repented of their sin, you haven't done that yet. You haven't turned to Christ. Now, can we really leave you where you are? Can we really go on in the Christian life and leave you in the hand of the devil? I don't think so. We're troubled, we're burdened, we're passionate about what we're saying, because we want to see you saved. We want you to leave the Egypt of your sin tonight and join your mum and dad, if you're not saved, on the road to Calvary and heaven and home. Young person, step out of your sin tonight. Leave the Egypt of this world. Join your parents and your family members at the cross. Stay in the wilderness with the Lord. Walk with God. Get right with Him. But don't leave it to another time, because you're in the hand of Pharaoh. You're in the hand of the devil. And as putty in the hand of the devil, he can fashion your life as he so pleases. And if God withdraws his hand from you, the devil will have his way and the devil will kill you. That's a fact. The devil will kill you. And only God stops him, the devil will kill you. And that's a scriptural truth. The book of Job, God said to the devil, touch his flesh. But God said this, and he added this. And if he hadn't have added this, the devil would have killed Job. He says, touch not his life. The devil couldn't kill him, but he did the next best thing. Even his wife says, curse God and die. And he killed him in many other ways, but he didn't take his life, because God commanded the devil not to do that. And if God was to withdraw his hand because of your rejection of your mother's God and your father's Savior, young person, listen to me. The devil will kill you. He will kill you. Because the thief has come not for to look after the sheep, but to kill and destroy. And I say to you, young person, tonight, I don't know where you stand with God, and there are young people here. I say to you right now, leave Egypt. Repent of your sin. Join your parents at the cross. And start tonight for heaven and for home. So there's compromise in regard to the place. to the path and to the posterity. And one final thought, and it's this. There's compromise in regard to the provision. If you look with me at chapter 10, and we'll just use this as our conclusion. Look at verse 24 of chapter 10. Look what it says. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go also with you." Do you see that? How he let the people go, the men, the women, the older, and they argued for the children, and the devil lost his grip on the children, and the children joined their parents on the wilderness journey to the place where God says, "Sacrifice to me, and I will meet with you." And then Pharaoh says, "Go, bring your children then, Moses. Go on, if that's what you want. Take them all, get out of my sight, and away you go, but leave your flocks and your herds." What a compromise. Moses knew straight away. How on earth could we land after 3 days' journey? We have nothing to sacrifice. We have nothing whereby our God will come and meet us with. We need the flocks and the herds. That's the sacrifice. They represent the blood that God requires for the penalty of sin. And when we go to meet a holy God, we are sinners. We're leaving Egypt. We're repenting. But without the blood, we cannot meet with God. And here's what the devil's saying. Sinner, go to heaven every other way, but through the blood. And yet you cannot be saved apart from the blood of Christ. God says without shedding of blood is no remission. The word's forgiveness. No forgiveness. Why? Because the penalty for sin is death. And what is the shedding of blood? It is death. That's why Christ had to suffer the penalty of our sin. He had to die. And Christ died for us. That is, he suffered the penalty for sin. He endured the punishment for sin, and the sacrifice was represented in the flocks and the herds. Can you see the man, the woman, the churchgoer trying to get to heaven without the blood? Amazing, isn't it? It's a compromise the devil offers you. Oh, cover yourself in the water of baptism. Cover yourself with the hands of a man as he confers the sevenfold graces of the Spirit and confirmation. I've been there. I've had all that. And it not take me to heaven. Oh, join a good church. Get involved in those born again believers. Have an association with them. But no blood. No conversion. No forgiveness. No pardon. No salvation. No blood. God can only save you on the ground of that blood that was shed on Calvary for guilty sinners. Christ shed his blood. When we say Christ poured out his life and death, that's what that means when we say he shed his blood. That is, he poured his life out in sacrificial death. He was your substitute. He took your place. Upon the cruel cross of Calvary, he shed his royal blood to pay the price for your sin, to save your soul. Does that not mean anything to you? Will you still cling either to the world or to religion rather than abandon it all tonight and come to Christ and receive him as your own and personal Savior? Tell me, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The Lord is not looking for a denominational tag. He's not looking to see if you were Free Presbyterian, or whether you were Irish Presbyterian, or whether you were Methodist, or whether you were Church of Ireland, or whether you were Reformed Presbyterian, or whether you were Baptist or Brethren, or Elam Pentecostal, or whether you had a little independent association with a fellowship outside the mainstream denominations. The Lord is not looking for an orange collarette, nor is he looking for a black collarette, nor an apprentice boy's collarette. He is not looking for any other thing but blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the blood mark has to be upon the soul. And God will send the judgment. And the angels and Christ himself will come. And that day of judgment, the Lord, when he makes insurrection for sin and searches out the secrets of men's heart in the light of his judgment day, he'll be looking for something. It's not church membership. It's not a religion. He'll be looking for blood. And the sinner saved by the blood of Christ, washed in that blood, and sure of heaven by that blood, justified by the blood, will be passed over on the day of judgment. Now, sinner, the devil will offer you all those compromises. Are you going to take them? Or will you not obey God tonight and repent and believe the gospel? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come, sinner, and may the Lord in love and mercy and grace draw your soul savingly to Christ. Let's bow in prayer.
My friend, have you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. And can you look back to that day when you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and repented of your sin? Are you saved tonight? You say to me, preacher, I'm not saved. Maybe you say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Well, my friend, get saved tonight. Make sure tonight. If you were to get saved this evening, then you could lead your children to Christ. You would have an influence over your children, pointing them to the Lord. If you'd like to speak to the preacher this evening, he would be too glad to open up the Bible and to show you more clearly how you can be saved and how you can know it. My friend, get this matter dealt with tonight. We don't invite you to a church, we invite you to a Savior. Would you not come to Christ this evening? Wait behind in the meeting as others leave. We give the invitation tonight as we do every night. To wait and seek the Lord. Maybe you say, preacher, I don't need to speak to anyone. I know that I need to be saved and I know how to be saved. Well, just we are sitting now. Right now. Just bow your head and cry unto the Lord. Ask him to save you, to forgive you for your sin. He'll do it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But my friend, make your peace with God. If you never meet us again, if you never come back into this church again, make your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and prepare for heaven. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word again to our hearts tonight, for the challenge of it. We know, Lord, that the devil is so subtle. And oh God, right now, he's standing, waiting to snatch away the seed that has been sown in the heart. Oh God, defeat the works of hell tonight. We plead the blood for the covering of every soul in this place. We ask the Lord that the Lord Jesus will this night triumph in every heart that's gathered here. Remember those, Lord, that's not saved. Oh God, draw them to the Savior. Whatever they're trusting in, whatever they're depending upon, oh God, may they turn away from these compromises. May they realize tonight that there's none but Christ can satisfy. Another name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh God, there's only one way, the way of the cross. There's only one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Calvary. There's only one pathway, and that's the pathway of repentance and faith in the finished work. Oh God, bless your word tonight to the salvation of precious souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.